Brother McFay, will you pray for us, please?
Father, we love you. Thank you for what we heard this morning. I pray you, the man of God, now some preaches to us. I pray our ears to be open, our hearts to receive understanding. Lord, help us to take what is preached, apply it to our hearts, our lives, not think of others, but think of self. I pray anoint his lips afresh and new. Do your bidding, your will in Jesus' name. Amen.
Sure. Amen. All right. Are we good? Where did I lay my stuff at? So nervous, I can't remember where I laid my stuff. Old Brother McVeigh. They can't hear me outside, can they? I'm going to talk bad about him.
Yeah.
I tell you what I was taught to, last night, this pulpit looked so little. I was sitting there and I'm like, man, that's a little pulpit. And now I get up here and it feels so big. And I think what it is, same thing it is at my church, it's Tim McVeigh. He just swallows this thing when he stands. First time he came to our church, y'all, he was up there preaching and he got done preaching and I went to close the service and I noticed everybody was laughing in the congregation, just laughing. And I started, you know, checking my nose. I thought maybe I had something hanging and I, you know, checked myself and made sure. I didn't know what it was. And finally my boy said, Dad, would you please get up on the stool or something? He just said, we can't see you anymore. Tim was just so big. But, I don't know, it was funny to see me step up behind him, but the first time I ever seen him, I started looking for a sling. I said, my God, man, where's them slings at around here? But cut that giant down. But anyhow, it is a privilege to be here, it really is. I have to say a few things just to get my nerves to calm down and settle down. I'm a nervous wreck. I was going to say one thing I've been taught is, when you're around grown-ups, keep your mouth shut. And my grandma always told me it's better to be seen and not heard. And I feel like when I'm around people like John Asquith and Tim McVeigh and some of these seasoned men around here that I'm just a kid. I need to keep my mouth shut. And Brother Taylor asked me last night to preach today. And I'm honored and thrilled that he would do that, Brother McVeigh, but scared to death. I said, oh God, I'd rather hear Brother Asquith get up here and say some of that stuff that he says than to hear me any day. But y'all just pray, and I'm telling you, thank God for my son. I'm telling you, boy, I can't. We do this every Sunday. He gets up, and that's how he teaches Sunday school. You know why our people so dumb? Because that's our teaching. We don't get taught, we get preached to. And then I have to get up and preach, and I have to try to follow that. And about 2 weeks ago, they just wasn't no preaching left, and I got up and made a complete fool out of myself. But tried anyway. But man, I thank God for a youngin that's carrying that torch and preaching God's word.
Amen.
I want us to say that. Thank God. I'm glad my wife and my son Matthew's here with me. And thank you for the hospitality. I don't know if I'll get another chance to do all this, and I think preachers are supposed to do it. I don't know, but thank you for the room. Thank you for everything. I'm not a good person. I'm not good fellowship. I'm not a good friend. I don't know how to break the ice. I don't know how to talk to people. I'm weird. I'm backwards. I'm odd. I'm all that good stuff. You know what I'm saying? I walked away last night. I told my wife, I said, God, was I rude? I feel so rude because I don't know how to talk and I'm ignorant and backwards and hillbilly. And you talk about English. Well, I don't speak English. We don't speak English. Well, I don't know what it is. We make it up as we go. And
yep.
If it sounds good, amen. So if it ain't in there, it ought to be in there. So I taught my English teacher some stuff, but I don't know. We just make a mess out of this thing called language. But John chapter 6, let's go there. I'll try to be as quick as I can. Get out of your way. I listen to y'all services all the time. I do. I sit down by the way of internet and listen to Brother Dale and listen to Tanya's questions and listen to who's Tanya?
She's not
here. She's not here. All
right. I'm going to put a face with that. I want to see who's asking all them questions. And I know it's really a joy, and Brother Asquith and everything. It's so good to be able to sit down and get something that good out of the Word of God. That's right. And we quote him all the time down there at our church. John, David, and Kaylee's here. And they know that John Asquith is probably a household name around there. So, all right, John chapter 6. Let's start reading in verse number 66. It says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walk no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we have believed and are sure that thou art the Christ, that Christ, the Son of the living God. That's all I'll do. That's all I'll read for time's sake. I want to thank God for the opportunity really to magnify the Lord. When it comes to preaching and meetings and stuff like that, you got four or five preachers around. Sometimes people want to preach and sometimes people don't. I tell you how I look at it, Brother McVeigh. I feel like God's got men set in order to magnify him. And if you're the person that God has put his hand on that can draw me the best picture or give me the best view or magnify Jesus like nobody else at that time, man, that's who I want in that pulpit. I want to hear you. I want to see the Lord afresh and anew. If you can just let me sit at his feet for a while and just magnify the Lord and God just get real big and us just get real little and get out of the way and him just take over. I'm telling you, bud, we can leave this place a whole different person. We can leave here a better brother. We can leave a better friend, a better neighbor, a better employee. We can leave a better husband, a better wife, a better son or daughter, brothers. I mean, we can just leave better if we could just get at the feet of Jesus.
Yes.
And that's who I want. I want to see that man. I want to hear that man. I'm 47 years old. I've been in a lot of services in my life. I was in church 9 months before I was ever born. My mama was a church goer. That's right. She's been in church all of her life. I've been in church. But I thank God for every day, every service, every meeting. Thank God that God has fed me in. I want to thank God for it. Since I've been here, I must confess, I want to do my best. I want to do my best for you. I know preachers don't say this kind of stuff, but I want to do my best for you. I looked at this crowd sitting over last night, and I don't even know you. But I thought, boy, when I looked across, my heart was glad. And I said, I don't know, Lord, but I sure do love them. It's the love of God that's shed abroad in our hearts. You hear me? I don't have to know you, but I love you. I looked at the young people last night, and my heart was moved. And I said, God, I love them. And I thought, I don't know if I'll get to preach, and I really don't want to preach. But if I do preach, I want to be able to make you happy. I want to be able to impress you and please you. And I want to please Brother John Answorth. I want Brother Tim McVeigh to be satisfied. And I want the moderator to be content with asking me. But above all, I want Jesus to be happy with what I'm doing. I want the Lord to be pleased. I want to please him. I want to please my master. I want to please my Lord. I'm telling you, we might offend a lot of people, but if Jesus will smile on us, everything will be all right.
Amen.
Sure it will. Thing will be all right. Since last Saturday, this past Saturday, I believe the Lord's been trying to give me a message for this very meeting. I mean, he's been stirred in my heart. Last Saturday, I began to read, and God started showing me something. And I thought that, you know, the thought always crossed your mind. That's not for my church Sunday. And the Lord shared with me, and I believe with all my heart that he gave me this for this meeting today.
Amen.
The Lord's been trying to show me this, and it just coming up the road, I've been real sensitive and keenly conscious to the voice of God. It seems like since I've been here, I've heard a few things repeated over and over, and it only confirms what the Lord's been speaking to me about. When I was just a little boy, we didn't have cell phones. When I was a little boy, we didn't have PlayStation or Xbox, and I'm not gonna dog you a whole lot. I played a couple of video games where you ride the four wheelers and play football, and I've done so. But we didn't have that growing up. We didn't have a TV to even plug a PlayStation into. My stepdad was a working man, and he said, "Your boys is not going to sit around the house. You're going to work." And while the day, we worked. And while the night was night, we slept. And that was our life, to get up and go to school and come home and work and go to bed and get up and go to school. I thank God, boy. And I'm telling you, every time I breathed wrong or looked wrong, I can remember being told to do something. And being a boy, I had some other plans and maybe wanted to do something else. And I can remember being told, take the trash out and burn it, son. And I can remember one time, Brother Askew, in particular, I was about 6 years old. I was told to carry the trash out and burn it. And I put my foot down a little hasty to turn and walk away. Next thing I know, there came a hand from another area, grabbed a hold of my wrist, snatched me up, drug me off in a room, and adjusted my attitude. I mean, son, every time you look wrong in my house, you've got to adjust it real quick. It was riddling every time I turn around with a hickory switch. I'm trying to tell you something, church. Thank God for your heritage. Thank God for people that care enough to set you on a path. Thank God for people that care enough to say this is the way in which we should go. Thank God.
Amen.
At the time, boys and girls, this has got nothing to do with what I'm talking about. I can remember being told, go back out in the bedroom and pull your britches down. I didn't think we was going to Sunday school. I knew what that meant. I was fixing to get some blood run down my legs. That's how we handled it. That's how we did it. Blood was there when we got it done. And so that's abuse. Well, that's what we needed. We were stupid, hard-headed, mean, just mean boys. And it took the blood being beat out. Right. Go back in the bedroom. Boy, my stepdaddy, he'd be coming down that hall. And I'd be, God, would you let him die with a heart attack? Even saved, and I was a prayer warrior. I don't let him make it back. Next thing you know, that door would fling open, and God didn't hear my prayers, much less answer them. My goodness, but thank God for that. I'm telling you honest, before God, I thank God for every ounce of discipline I ever had in my life, every chastening I ever received in my life. I thank God for that. And I found out, boy, they'd say this hurts me more than it does you. And I'd be sitting there going, give me that switch. Give me that switch. Let's try this thing. Let's turn it around. Then I had children of my own. And I had to walk up into the room one day. And boy, my heart was ripped out of me. And I crawled off in a closet somewhere and said, oh, God, if you'll show me how and teach me how and show me when to discipline mine and how to discipline mine, I, by the grace of God, will do it every time you ever speak to me. Just don't let a prison guard do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God, just don't let some jailkeeper attend to my kid. Don't let them discipline mine. Don't let it be a judge. Don't let it be a sheriff. Don't let it be some convict.
Amen.
It's instilling discipline in my children. God help us. Well, I don't know why I got off on that, but I was just trying to tell you, when I was a kid, that was our life. That's how we did things. And I can remember, Brother Ashworth, one rainy day, we was out on the porch. We weren't allowed to even play in the house. You go in the house, you get cracked in the head with something. It was rough. And we was out on the porch. It was raining. We was playing, and my cousin came by, and she'd come up with these old games I never heard of. It was 1, 2, 3 red light. You ever heard 1, 2, 3 red light? We played 1, 2, 3 red light. And then they would play Mother May I. Then the next thing you know, they'd want to play Simon Says. And then one day I grew up and I read the Bible, and Jesus said, without leave me also. And I seen a man in the Bible by the name of Simon Peter, and he said some things, and that brought back memories. Simon said, I said, oh God, what did Simon really say? What was it Simon had to say? There's some significance to the things that Simon had to say.
Amen.
And Jesus asked a question, will you leave also? And if there's one thing I cannot stand to see, is for people to turn and walk away. It's for people to turn and walk away from God. It's an awful sad day for me to see and hear of folks that used to be. I sat up there last night and I heard several testimonies of people that used to be here. People that was here the first year that wasn't here this year. People that was here last year that wasn't here this year. That's a sad report. Do you understand? I don't like to hear that. I wish that them people wasn't only here, Brother Taylor, but I wish that they would have come and brought somebody else with them. Yeah. Sit there, there's a place up in New York where we met with God, where Jesus is. Would you come with us to camp? Oh no, I had to hear the awful news that they're not here. I had to hear the awful news, man, that just last month some of them was able to take money and go buy pop concert, rock concert tickets, and sit down in the splashing lights and the rising smoke and worship some strange God as them heathens stood and danced on the
free dial to go to an old-fashioned camp meeting where Jesus is and they're trying to get some help from the Lord. Where a man cares and has a burden enough to open his doors and to sacrifice his time and to try to help people, and people say, I don't care. And it's amazing. There may be some sitting here today that may not be back next year. That'd be sad.
Yes.
That'd be sad.
Yes.
Oh, God, we want you here. I don't know you, but I want you here. When I looked at you last night, I was glad to see you. I seen you boys walking up and down them streets and over there at the fire. Oh, I was glad to see you. I'm just glad there's some young people where Jesus is. You understand? I'm glad you're here, and I want you to be packed, and I want you to get some fire up at you and see if you can't compel somebody else to come with you next year. Well, I've been on both sides of this thing. I understand that we have an enemy, and he'll lie to you and tell you why in the world you shouldn't come to a meeting like this. He'll tell you why you shouldn't be here. Tell you why you can't go to church. Tell you why you can't serve God as a young person. We have an enemy that lies. He's the father of all lies. He can't stand to tell the truth. If he even has an inkling of the truth, he'll wrap it with a lie.
Yeah.
And he don't want you here. Oh, thank God there's grace for every need. I've been on both sides. I mean, once I was blind, but now I see. I was once a stranger. I was once alienated. I was once an enemy of God. I once drifted in this world. I once was out in the shadows of the night. You understand? But the grace of God appeared to me. Jesus saved my soul. And he brought me into his family. He adopted me and brought me in. I'm telling you, thank God, I'd rather be a child of God today than anything I know. I'd rather be his child. Right? I've noticed in our text that Jesus asked, will you go away? One named Simon Peter answered with some really good answers. So with that in mind, I want to just show you a couple answers that Simon said about going away from God. I want to show you a few things that Simon said will help you stay close to God. I'm going to show you a few things that Simon said that if you'll do, by the grace of God, you can be right back in the house of God the next time the doors is open. You can be back to the camp meet the next time we have it up. It's amazing. It'll help you. It'll help sustain you. Number one, Simon says, if you're going to go with God, then you're going to have to recognize who he is. Look at what he said in verse number 68. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord. That's pretty good.
Yes.
He recognized right off the bat who he was that was talking. He said, Lord. The same thing that Apostle Paul said when he fell off his mule. He said, Lord, what would thou have me to do? I'm going to tell you something. If you're going to ever make it with Jesus Christ, you're going to have to recognize who Jesus Christ is. Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I know it's not popular today. I know it's not pleasant preaching today. I don't give a flip what the population says. I don't care what folks might think. I'm telling you what the Bible said, that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's the boss. He's the owner. He's the one that leads us and guides us and tells us what to do.
Amen.
If you're going to go on with God, you're going to have to come up underneath that lordship. That's right. You have to recognize him as Lord. If you don't get any further than this, in this little message I've got here, this is a good place to settle in the lordship of Jesus Christ. It's a good place to settle with him being master of your life, with him being the boss of your life, with him being the ruler of your life. Oh, I'll get somewhere in just a minute by the grace of God. We need to get out of his way and take our hands off of our circumstances and take our hands off of our lives and just do what Brother Taylor said last night. Just give ourselves over to him. Oh, Lord, here I am. Use me. He quoted a while ago, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. I don't have time to chase a lot of rabbits, but it does rise a thought in my mind where I heard a story of a missionary that had a family over on the fire and saw. And the authority. authorities came in his house and told his family, said, if you don't denounce Jesus Christ, we're going to hurt you. And his family would not denounce Jesus Christ. They wouldn't deny him. And they took his wife and raped her and abused her. And they took that man's daughters and they abused him. And they took their tongue and cut him out of their mouth. Because they wouldn't denounce or deny him. Kids, I'm talking about. Wouldn't deny Jesus Christ. Some 20 years later, 20 some years later, there was another preacher that had traveled over to that country. And he was preaching in a service. As he was preaching, he noticed there was somebody over there doing sign language to these little three girls. And they was over there smiling and enjoying the service. And after service, somebody said, hey, preacher, you know who that is? And they told him the story. They said, that's them little girls that was persecuted for the cause of Christ. That's them little girls right there that when they were just children, the authorities took it and took their speech from them. Now they can't even talk anymore. He said, I want to speak to them. He walked over and said, ladies, I'm going to ask you something. And the lady was sitting doing the signs. He said, you've been through all you've been through. How are you so still smiling? Why are you still here? I mean, he had all these... They looked at him and said, sir, it's just our reasonable service. Oh, dear God, turn the television off. Put the phone down. Throw away the Facebook. We think we're being persecuted sometimes because there's structure in our life, because there's discipline in our life. Oh, God, we know nothing about serving him.
Right.
God help us. In Jesus' name. All we need to do is present ourselves a living sacrifice. You need to recognize him as Lord and take your hands off your life. Oh, I know we've got plans. You've got ambitions. You've got goals. You've got all kind of ideas. And there's nothing wrong with a lot of them things. Nothing wrong with goals and being ambitious. There's nothing wrong with having that zeal and that go-getter. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with girls liking boys. Thank God in America there's still some girls that like boys. And boys, thank God, that do like girls. Hey, man. Yes, sir. You never know anymore. But it's good. It's good. You need to recognize Jesus for who he is. He's an all-powerful God. And we're not serving a God of Muslim. We're not serving Allah. We're not serving Buddha. We're not serving some strange God that's laid up in a tomb somewhere where they've made some statue. We're serving a God that's sitting on a throne yonder in glory. That's got all power to hand it over to him. And I'm telling you, he's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that you ask to think. If you'll just take your hands off. If you'll just give him yourself, if you'll just look to him, if you'll just trust him as Lord, he'll be everything and more. Amen. He'll be everything.
Amen.
He'll be everything.
Amen.
He'll be everything that you ever wanted. Jesus will be everything that you ever wanted and more. Oh, preacher, I want a husband. Jesus will give you the right one. I want a wife. Jesus will give you the right one. I want this job. Jesus will give you the right one.
Hey.
He'll give it to you. He'll do more for you than you ever dreamed and more. Old Simon said, Lord, he said, Lord, to whom shall we go? I think he wants us to understand once you get to the Lord, you absolutely have the best. There's no power like his power. There's no love like the love of God. There's no life like the abundant life. There's no joy like the joy of the Lord. There's not a friend like Jesus. He's a friend, thank God, that sticks closer than a brother. I'm telling you, in your deepest, darkest despair, in your hardest trial, you'll find a friend standing over there and he'll be Jesus. And I'm telling you, thank God when my mother and my father forsake me, God is always there. David said, I was young and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor seen begging bread. I'm 47 years old. God ain't never failed me. God ain't never done me wrong. God ain't never come short. He's never let me down. He's never cut me off. He's been all to me that I ever wanted and more.
Hey.
Amen.
I'm telling you that when he's Lord of your life, there may still be some bumps in the road. I would to God I could come in here and say, boy, you serve God, you'll never have a cloudy day. I would to God we could say that. There's been some nights me and that girl back there has cried all night. Been sleep. We've cried all night. Wandering, worried, hurting. Oh, God. But I'm going to tell you something, young people, and everyone alike. Jesus Christ will be more to you than you ever imagined.
Amen, amen.
I mean, even as a child of God, you can be serving God, sold out to God, living for God. You can be plugged in, praying, reading your Bible, preaching on it, whatever. You're going to hit a bump in the road. I'm going to tell you something. I'd rather hit that bump with Jesus than hit it without
amen.
Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
I'd rather hit them bumps. I'd rather hit them rough seas. I'd rather have some problems in my life with Jesus at the stern of my ship than I have to face this life with my hands on the wheel, with my own decisions, with my own goals, with my own ambitions. I'd rather have Jesus. That way I know if I do stumble, if I do get banged up, if I do get hurt, there's a balm in Gilead. There's a God in glory. He's going to take care. He'll pick us up. He'll wash us off. And set us back on our feet. Jerry will. That's the God we serve. Wow, you're going to face some hard times. I don't care if you're saved or lost. He's our God over the just and the unjust. You're going to have tough times. No matter the Bible said. Well, let me put it like this. If you've got a mama, you've got problems. I ain't throwing off on mamas. We wouldn't be here without a mama. The mother of Jesus is the reason we're able to have this church, have this service. Listen to me. This is what I mean. Job said, a man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Just trying to tell you, if you're born of a woman, you got a mama, you got problems.
That's it.
Right. This is exactly right. But I'd rather face them problems with Jesus than face them problems without Jesus. It's that simple. It's not algebra, geometry. It's a simple little equation. 1 + 1 is to Jesus. Amen. It's all about Him. Let me say something to you. Jesus Christ is the Lord. And we aren't here because of a Savior or some Savior. But we're here because He is the Savior.
Amen.
That's right. Let me say something about this Lordship of Christ. When He's Lord of your life, you don't have to worry about who you're going to marry. Worry about that.
Amen.
You ain't got to worry about that. You ain't got to worry about courtship. I mean, sometimes, listen, girls and boys, I know I'm old, but I ain't that old. I dated too. I had a girlfriend too. And I had a desire to have one. But I can remember the little girls, how crazy they was over it. They want to hear somebody say, I love you. Oh, I love you. If you didn't say, I love you, then your friends call you and ask you a question. And I was so sweet. Do you love her? I said, oh, I don't love her. I don't love her. Well, what you talking about? Love? I don't love her. I love my ball bag. Hey, man, I don't love her. Or you got to love my fishing pole. Oh, you can, I like my BB gun. I don't love her. You love her? Oh, I don't love her. Let me tell you something. I'm saying that because I've been there. Jesus will take care of the courtship. He'll put the right person in your life.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Most times it's trouble anyway. Most times it's trouble until it's the one Jesus puts in your life.
Right.
Ain't nothing but problem. Ain't nothing but distractions. Messes with your grades. Messes with your focus. Messes with your future. Until it's the Lord Jesus Christ put in your life. Trust the little preacher. I mean, dear God, I'm trying to tell you the truth. Like the brother said, we was over, he's talking about pushing people out of the road. We was down there in the river fishing up in the mountains of Gatlinburg, Tennessee. And an anaconda crossed the river. And I see that thing. And he had his fangs out. And his eyes was pointing at me. And he had a tongue about that long. It wasn't about that long, but his tongue was about that long. He got to looking at me. And I had two of my boys with me, Matthew and Zach. The other boy, he fell asleep in the car and wouldn't get up. Just Jacob. I mean, you know, they even Michelin tires and he falls asleep in 5 minutes. Matthew was there and I seen that anaconda coming across that river and I went, "Watch out! Watch out, man, watch out!" I mean, man, he might have a panic attack. Look at what the name of it, what's wrong there? What's wrong there? I mean, look, it's a snake! Dad, that's not a snake. That's a nightcrawler. Am I lying? Say, what are you talking about? Man, danger. Danger. What are you talking about, preacher? I seen danger. I didn't think about that little snake, Brother Asquith. I thought about his mama.
Yeah.
He said, his mama's here somewhere. Watch out.
Right.
Watch out. This is right. A warning, boys. Somewhere.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, you got prelim after prelim and preacher after preacher that stands up in a pulpit and says, watch out! Watch out! Watch out! Oh, God, all they're doing is looking after your best interests. All they're doing is trying to help. I know, I know, I know. I've been there. Kayla, you got a little brother. You've got a little brother. You ought to be able to understand. How many of y'all got little brothers or little sister? That's right. Can you imagine being with your little brother, the caretaker that you are, and letting him fall into a pit? And turn your back and say, I couldn't care less. No, you're going to warn your little one. You're going to warn them because you love them and you care about them. You're going to look at them. That's all. That's all God's doing. That's all the words to it. That's all the preachers are doing. Saying, watch out, watch out, watch out. There's an enemy out there. There's an enemy out there. There's an adversary. There's snares. There's traps. There's dangers. Watch out. We want you to have a good life. We want you to have a marriage. We want you to have fun. We want you to enjoy life. But we want you to do it with Jesus. Amen. That way we know, thank God, when the trumpet of God sounds, you won't be left behind. Thank God when the rapture takes place. All those that are in Christ are going to rise up and meet the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Hey.
Right. Much rather see you there than see you running around on earth trying to find some preacher down there at the church, some grandma that believed God, or a mama that told you so. Watch Hollywood try to explain where everybody's gone.
Yeah.
They're already making movies about it.
Right.
They already make movies about it. I've never seen a generation. God help y'all. I'm completely off my message. But I've never seen a generation so entertained with devils.
Yeah.
Seem like every movie that's being made is some kind of paranormal activity.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Some kind of devil, some kind of demon, and they're selling out at the box office, and our next generation is a rushing down there. And this is getting better than when most of them's leaving with devils themselves. Right. And they go back to these godly homes. They go back to these churches. Oh, they hear the man of God, and they harden their heart and stiffen their neck. And I'm telling you, it's destined for destruction. And that without remedy, God help us.
Right.
Get our eyes off this old stupid junk. Who in the name of God wants a devil? And if you could really pull the scale off of your eyes and see what's really going on in that devil world and all the demon activity that's going on, it'd scare you out of your skin. You would crawl somewhere and beg God to have mercy. If you could really see, it's not entertainment. It's not cool. It's not fun. It's hell on earth.
Amen.
Take you to the ghetto. I can take you to my family. I can take you to some of my friends.
Yes.
Let you see the wages of sin.
Yes, sir.
How pleasurable it is. How much fun it really is. And I'll be able to see somebody you love lay in a casket that denied repentance and clung to dope or clung to booze. I watched my daddy drink himself to death and go to an early grave. Never could abstain from a lady of ill repute or a bottle of booze. 52 years old, I lost my daddy. I don't know if any of y'all's ever lost your daddy or your mama, but there's a yearning now inside of me, and I pass his road, and I go, oh God, I would love to see my daddy. I would love to take my boys and sit in my daddy's living room and let my daddy just spin the yarn. I can't, Matt. I can't go see my dad. I can't take you to see your papa because the wages of sin got him, son. Went to work one day, a drunk man on the roof, fell off that roof, broke every bone in his body, busted the main artery loose from his heart, and laid in the Baptist hospital in Southern North Carolina for 3 hours and bled internally until he died suffering. Told me, he said, son, I know Jesus. Get up on Sunday morning, he'd be drunk, have liquor on his breath, and continue to drink sin. Oh, God, help us. Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ is Lord. That ain't the stuff he puts in our life. He cares. He's a good master. He's a good owner. He's a good boss. Oh, he pays good dividends. His benefits is heaven. God help us. Let me say this, young people. If there's ever one thing you ought to look to, and it's easy to look to sports figures, it's easy to look to certain role models. And some people's probably okay. I got heroes all over this country. Some of them's dead, some still alive. Men of God, heroes.
Amen.
Derek Jeter, my hero. Earl Campbell, Barry Sanders, those old football, they're not my heroes. My heroes is Harold Siler.
Amen.
My heroes is Oliver Green. My heroes is Sidney Allen. These men of God, these are my heroes. Dr. Don Green, that's a hero of mine. I love these men. Thank God. I'm glad old brother Lester Roloff took the wash by your grace one day and bathed me in it one day. I'm glad I got to say it. And listen, when my ears, that great man of God, brother Roloff, and as a 12-year-old boy, they come running out to me and I was shooting hoops on the basketball court. My aunt hollered out at me. She said, David, Lester Roloff just died in a plane crash. 12 years old and I was lost and sorry as nine hells. My heart broke. Depression set in. I didn't have Jesus. I didn't know how to handle it. But I knew some tragedy had happened in my life.
Amen.
That man of God went on to glory and it was a big emptiness, a big void. I knew he was a man of God. I knew he was real. And I loved him even being lost. I'm glad, thank God, we can have some heroes, church, but above all that, the writer of Hebrews said we ought to look to Jesus.
Amen.
You can't go wrong looking to Jesus. We've told to talk to church, and we've talked about walking in faith, and we've talked about walking in the Spirit. The Bible said walk in the Spirit. One of the steps in that walk is looking unto Jesus. That's one of the steps in the walk, is looking unto Jesus. Looking for what? Looking for everything. You want to know which way? You want to know which way I'm going back to North Carolina? I got a GPS. Probably won't follow it. I'm gonna try to go back every time the Lord leads me to go back. There's about three different routes to go back. You say that's crazy? Let me alone. It took me a long time to learn how to look to Him like that.
That's right. Yeah.
It took me a long time to say everything matters. Well, I went to church this morning. It matters to my Father. Where I go to church matters.
Yes.
I got people tell me, oh, I go to that church. Wait, how'd you get going to that? Well, I go to that church because it's a pretty church. I don't care if we're sitting out here on a pile of heap of ashes. You hear me? That's where we ought to be. Right.
Yeah.
It ain't about a pretty church. It ain't about a popular crowd. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ and looking to Him and God, here's my life. Do with it what you want. What do you want, Lord? I'm done. I'm not going to get any further. Number two, and I'm just going to read it to you. I'm not going to preach it. I'm done. Verse 69, Simon said, thou art the Christ, that Christ. Thou art that Christ. He was being specific, precise. Simon says, if you're going to stay with God, you must reject everything that ain't that Christ. That starts with me. Me and everything else, you must be willing to forsake all, take up your cross, and follow Jesus. Right? It's good. Oh, God, help us. I asked a brother to do this, George Beverly Shea. I heard it, Brother Aspen said, as soon as I got here, he mentioned George Beverly Shea. George Beverly Shea had an opportunity, ladies and gentlemen, to sign a record label. The big shots back in his day wasn't big shots. I mean, by no stretch of the imagination today, we wouldn't even notice them, but back then it was big. They asked him to do a record label. And they told George Beverly Shea, they said, you can sing gospel music, but that's not how we do. You're not going to do that for us. We sing other stuff. But we're not going to stop you from singing gospel music. They said, we want you to do this still. And he said, I tell you what, George Beverly Shea said, I got to pray at mama. My mama prays for me and my family every day. He said, what I need to do is I need to go home and I need to discuss this with my mama and I need to think about it. And he went home and he told his mama, Mama, I got this opportunity to sign a record deal. I can make us some money. I can do this. His mama began to pray. She sat down, and I've heard the story told a couple different ways, but they said she sat down and started pinning down some notes. The next morning, George Beverly Shea got up, went over to the piano stool to sit down. Noticed a little piece of paper that his mama had been scribbling on and picked it up. It was these words. Well, have you seen that?
I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be His than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by His nail-pierced hands than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to His dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to His holy name than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. He's fairer than lilies of rarest bloom. He's sweeter than honey from out the comb. He's all that my hungering spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus and let Him lead than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today.
Thank God. Listen, number three. George Beverly Shea went on to make more money than he probably ever made with that record deal. The world chews you up, spits you out, they're done with you. It's over. He got into gospel music, probably made a fortune. Number three, Jesus said, will you go away? This is what Jesus said. He said, I got 12 of you left, and one of you is the devil.
Amen.
I'll tell you what we better do. We better make sure that our name is written. I don't believe, Brother Ashford, we got nearly as much falling away as we think we do. A lot of people has never really got in.
Yeah,
that's where the problem lies.
Yes, Richard.
Never really got it. Tell you what I would do. while God's moving in this meeting this week, I'd seek him like the preacher said, I'd build it.
Our God's here.
I'd search him with all my heart.
Our God's here.
Oh, dear God, I wouldn't leave this place without getting it settled in my heart and my soul.
Yes.
One way or another, God speak to me.
Hey.
Telling you, but if you'll get that settled with God, you can go on like never before.
That's right.
Get that confidence. Get that, what she said, blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Amen. I'm good. I'm sorry. That's so long, preacher.
Brother, you're all right.
Brother, let me just say a couple things. You know me. Thank God.
When I first met you, I prayed for your friendship. God granted that.
Thank you for that.
I got saved in 1982, January.
I'd been preaching in the Bible college already.
More than Bible college when I got saved, actually. Got saved under a convert, Bobby Briggs. He looked at me the first time I was ever in his service and said this, young man, you do what I really thought you would be here. That's what he said. I wasn't upset with it, not at all. You know what? I was ashamed. I thought to myself, he sees straight through me. Okay? I was ashamed.
It took me a year and a half under his preaching for God to finally crack open the foolishness of my heart and show me true repentance towards God and the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ.
1985, I was ordained at Vermont. Pastor Randall got rid of his first class of guys to be trained and such. And people with caller ID today wouldn't understand very well this next story I'm going to tell, but this is back before caller ID, mid-1980s. Back in those days, having an answering machine was a big thing. Alright?
And on the answering machine, there was a woman's voice. And Pastor Andrew's answering machine said, help me!
Like, well, they thought it was a joke. And but day after day, help me, click. Bill Randall drove a truck. The time I ever knew him, preaching, drove a truck. Started 11 churches around the world driving a truck. Okay. But the thing is, he began to pray over every single person that had ever sat under his preaching. He put them in that voice, Lord, who is it? Who is it? One day he came in. And he told his wife, it's Pat Williamson. She said, she hates you. Pat Williamson walked out of this church 10 years ago cursing your name. He said, I'm telling you, it's Pat Williamson. She's back in the crazy house. Woman had grown up in Georgia. Her mother was a prostitute. I mean, a full, outright, cash and carry prostitute. Pat grew up in that house. She saved all her money sewing as a girl, sewing. Her uncles used to come in and abuse her. Such, she was a beautiful woman. She'd save all her money sewing. When she got 17, old enough to get out of the house, I thought her mama stole every dime she had. Married Wayne Williamson. She was about 17, Wayne was about 19, and Wayne, one thing about him, he was a man. Worked on the railroad. He was one of a few men on God's earth that could shut her up. He talked about flying saucers. He got her pregnant. He come home one day and there was a saucer in the house. She's cussing him, you did this to me. I mean, that's just the way Pat Williamson was. As beautiful as could be, but I mean as a constipated woodchuck. I'm telling you, that woman was just rough. And they went to church for a while. She ran into Bill Randall. And Bill Randall, I mean, he was as southern and mean as could be. And I just was. Tell you story after story about it. And she hated him because she just couldn't break it. And she went on out of that church, but she had a lot of mental problems. You imagine growing up that way, all the mental problems you have. So he said, she's back in the mental hospital, that's her. So he started calling around to all the mental hospitals, and one broke the rules. It was just a mistake, said, yeah, we have her right here. Yeah, Bill Miller, kind of super tight. He goes up there and Baptist Hospital where they had the mental ward, and he goes up there and says, the nurses, I'm here to see Pat Williamson. They said, well, preacher, we don't see your name on the list. I'll let you in. He looked over there, saw the room, he said, well, I'm going back. They brought up this big old black Security guard walked up there, grabbed him by the arm, said, "Preacher, you're not going back there." He grabbed that security guard by the arm and said, "One of two ways, we can go together, or," he said, "I can leave you behind, I'm going." Okay? And that security guard, "Well, preacher, let's see if she wants to see him," you know? And they walked back there, and there's a room all white and stark, just a cot in the middle of it, and a woman sitting there in the gown. And he walks through the door and says, "I knew you wouldn't forget me! I knew you wouldn't forget me!" Went to her house. Raised three kids. They wanted to get away from the world, so she raised her daughter Jennifer to be a beauty queen. And when Jennifer was 17 years old, to this day, I don't know if I've ever seen a girl that's just as pretty as she was. She could have graced any magazine cover anywhere. She was sitting in Charter Rivers Hospital for drug abuse, alcohol, 17 years old, already destroyed. Steve, her son, was pitching for Irmo High School, Irmo, South Carolina. At 15 years old, he had a 90-mile-an-hour fastball, and he never pitched a game with the Atlanta Braves in that scout camp. Never pitched a game, but they were sitting there in the stands. So nice scouts from other teams and that. They'd sit there, take his daddy out to eat and such, and old Steve sitting there, 90-mile-an-hour fastball. And Steve didn't even have good classes. They just give him grades. He didn't have to do nothing. They just give him grades, and he'd go on and such. And but that family, there's mom in the hospital, sister in the hospital, and Steve going around, shirt unbuttoned, you know, chains around his neck, and that girl's hanging off his arm and everything else. The family come back to church. Bill Randall had enough of Steve about 6 weeks into him coming. He had enough of it. Boy sitting there, he's stained for everything going on. I don't have to listen to that. Again, he had no Bill Randall. He walked back and grabbed that boy, 15 years old. He grabbed him by the lapels in the middle of a Sunday morning service. Walked out of the boat, grabbed him by the lapels, and just walked over and threw him up against the wall and said, "I'll tell you the problem with you boys." He banged him against the wall. He said, "You think your dad is a whip. You think that I'm a whip. The worst man, you think Jesus Christ is a whip." And he went back and threw him back in the chair. There were people who vowed they'd never come to that church again, just curious if a man would ever do that. You know what happened to Stevie Williamson? He got saved the next week.
Yes, sir.
I mean, he got born again. He got saved by Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ stepped into him.
Amen.
And the conflict began to be, what do you do with a boy with a 90-mile-an-hour fastball at 15? The Atlanta Braves hanging all over that. And the conflict began to be Wednesday night services. Wednesday night services. Do you come or you don't come? Now, you think that mama would know by now God's doing some stuff here. By the way, Jennifer, that 17-year-old girl, had her 10th child recently, served God on the mission field all her life.
Amen.
There's a dear jewel. You hear me talk about Darren sometimes. Woman paid a price. Got a disease in her brain from the tropics. They have to bring her back to the States every so often and such. You can sit down, she's going to run 10 kids for her. Okay? She's going to look like a 17-year-old and such. But you can look at her and realize that. You can see it. Okay? And old Steve, that conflict, he missed Wednesday night, he'd come to church. And he missed church Wednesday night, he'd go to baseball practice. Conflict. And one day the coach realized there's conflict. He doesn't have time for this thing. Coach put his hand on his shoulder and said, "Steve," he showed him that baseball. He said, "You're going to have to make up your mind between this baseball and Jesus Christ." And that coach has eaten them words ever since. He had a little sorrow, which he never, ever, ever brought that to a head. Because once he was put that way, there wasn't a bit of problem, Steve.
Amen.
Somebody finally put it very clearly. He handed that baseball back to him. Now, I knew Steve Williamson. When he had his bride, they were sitting in the Turks and Caicos Islands, Grand Turk. And all the people who promised to support him cut him off. The natives there hated him for his preaching. He's sitting there getting eat alive by mosquitoes. And once a month, clockwork, his father would get a phone call. Atlanta Braves, $300,000 he'll just come and try out.
You don't have to make it. Just come and throw the ball for us. $300,000 guaranteed. Just show up in Atlanta. $300,000. Just show up. He never did.
Amen.
Pastor, the Yosemite Baptist Church today. They tell me he cuts a wide swath over the South. They tell me that he's a preacher pirate. I've heard a couple. I grew up with Steve preaching, and you know, he grew up with me preaching the Lord in the sense of us serving the Lord together. He had to make up his mind who was going to be the Lord of his life. He made up his mind.
It's your move. Who's your hero? Say, what do you mean, who's my hero? Who you want to be like? You know, I was sitting over there thinking, those are my heroes too, preacher. I've known Dr. Don Green now for about 30 some odd years. And from the day I met him, he's been my hero.
Amen.
Because of some of the things he taught me over the years, my daughter just came home from the mission field on her first furlough. He put some things in me that my children saw and got a hold of. He's one of those men you talked about last night, Brother Zach. You just run into him and God just does something. But I've got a hero that's far greater than Don Green. I'll never be half the man Don Green is. And I'll never be a tenth of the man my hero is. But I'm not going to stop trying to be like him.
Amen.
He's worthy.
Amen.
He's worthy of far more than I could ever emulate, far more than I could ever try to be like. Oh, I want to be like him.
Yes, sir.
I've walked into Walmarts, different places in the country, and I've had people walk up to me and look at me and say, are you a preacher? And I'm dumbfounded. How'd you know that? I'm in bib overalls and a t-shirt. I just got through hanging some church's door or somebody's shelving or something, building something for somebody. I'm all sawdust. I'm on my way home. I just stopped to get something on the way home. And you want to ask me if I'm a preacher? I look at myself. I look back at them and say, why you ask that? And their reply is, you look like a preacher. It's not the outside.
That's right. Something else.
They're seeing something from the inside that I wish they could see more of.
Amen.
I want to be more like him. I remember the first year of this meeting, a young man. About every time I turned around, he was on the altar. And this morning he preached.
Yeah.
This morning he preached what he's been living ever since I've known him. Trying to be more like Jesus. Trying to be more of what he had him to be. And I know if I stood him up right now and said, do you have any regrets? I know what his reply would be.
No, sir.
Absolutely none. In 33 years, I have none. And I know he doesn't.
Amen.
And anybody else like that who's given their life to him, a living sacrifice, has no regrets. He talked about Stevie Williamson being offered all that money. I know what that's like. I've been offered hundreds of thousands of dollars many times over if I would just stop what I'm doing
and go help a man run his business.
Yep.
I said, no, you're foolish for ever even asking. He called me the fool. I said, no, you are. Because I've got riches far greater than you could ever pay me. And I've got more joy than I could ever find anywhere else in this world. And I'm often humbled and saddened by my own failure. And I have to wonder, Brother Tim, how much more joy could I have if I could just be a little bit more like him? If folks could see him in me more and not see me. I'm just going to put it to you this way and we'll be done. I know Brother Asquith's policy on altar calls, this isn't an altar call. But I also know this altar is always open.
Well, my policy is the man in that pulpit decides what the policy is.
And some of you don't need to run to the altar. Some of you need to crawl.
Come on.
Some of you need to put down you. Because the real hero is the one you're looking at in the mirror. And you just need to put it down. And just say, I'd rather have Jesus.
Come on.
Than anything else. I'll tell you, there's nothing better. Chunk your pride. Chunk yourself. Chunk your dreams. And just turn it all over to him and let him sort it all out for you. The greatest dream in my life used to be that I would be another Richard Petty. You know what he is now? He's a decrepit old man. Yep. 33 years ago, the greatest dream in my life became that I might serve him and go wherever he would have me go. Brother Zach, I've seen that dream come to fruition hundreds of times. Had the privilege of preaching in foreign soil so many times I can't even count them. And he paid all the bills.
Right.
I didn't have to do it, he did it. Thousands. And I say this with fear and trepidation. Our thousands of people have come to know the Lord. Because one man said, God, your way, not mine. I'll go. You don't know what you're missing by hanging on to you, by hanging on to this world. I'm just going to bow for prayer. And I'll just put it to you this way. It's your move. Father, the best we know how, we've done what you told us to do here today. Preachers have preached what you laid on their hearts, what you told them to do. There's no doubt in our minds. Everything that's been said and done, we've tried to have it done and said for your glory. And Lord God, there's nothing else we can do. To belabor the point would be sin. All we can do now is beg your Spirit to work in the hearts of people and help these young people and everybody else in this room even to just submit to you. Surrender, teetotally, lock, stock, and barrel, hair, hide, and all. Get in all the way. It sure makes the things of this world grow awful dim. The brightness of this world goes out in comparison to the will of God and living for you. thank you for moving in our midst. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.